Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Surin Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 13, Text Number 30. Deha Dibir Daiva Tantrayar Atmanaha Shukam Ihataha Dughatyayam Chanishasya Kriya Mogaha Kritaha Kritaha Dehadibir Daiva Tantrayar Atmana Sukam Ihataha Dughatyayam Chanishasya Kriya Moga Krita Kritaha Dehadibir Daiva Tantrayar Atmana Sukam Ihataha Dughatyayam Chanishasya Kriya Moga Krita Kritaha Dehadibir Daiva Tantrayar Atmana Sukam Ihataha Dughatyayam Chanisasya Kriyamoga Krita Kritaha Dehadibir Daiva Tantrayar Atmana Sukam Ihataha Dughatyayam Chanisasya Kriyamoga Krita Kritaha Dehadibir Daiva Tantrayar Atmana Sukam Ihataha Dughatyayam Chanishasya Kriyamoga Krita Kritaha Vaishnavis Dehadibir Daiva Tantrayar Atmana Sukam Ihataha Dughatyayam Chanishasya Kriyamoga Krita Kritaha Deha Adivhi with the body, mind, ego, and intelligence. Daiva Trantrai, under the control of superior power. Atmanaha, of the self. Sukam, happiness. Ihataha, searching after. Dukha Atyayam, diminution of miserable conditions. Cha, also Anishashya of the living entity, fully under the control of material nature. Kriyaha, plans and activities. Mogaha, kritaha, kritaha. Become baffled again and again. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress. But because the various bodies of the living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are unlimitedly baffled. Please repeat. The living entity tries to achieve happiness and rid himself of the causes of distress. But because the various bodies of the living entities are under the full control of material nature, all his plans in different bodies, one after another, are ultimately baffled. Purport. Because the materialist is in gross ignorance of how the laws of material nature act upon him as a result of his fruitive activity, he mistakenly plans to enjoy bodily comfort in the human form of life through so-called economic development, through pious activities for elevation to the higher planetary systems, and in many other ways. But factually, he becomes a victim of the reactions of his fruitive activities. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated as the Supersoul within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivisto mata smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. End of quote. The desires and activities of the living being are observed by the Supersoul, who is the Upadrashta, the overseer, and who orders material nature to fulfill the various desires of the living being. As clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Rideshe Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudani Mayaya. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart, and as one desires, the Lord gives one various types of bodies, which are like machines. Riding on such a machine, the living entity wanders throughout the universe under the control of material nature and its modes. Thus, the living being is not at all free to act, but is fully under the control of material nature, which is fully under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as a living entity is victimized by material desires to lord it over material nature, he is subjected to the control of material nature, which is supervised by the Supreme Soul. The result is that one again and again makes plans and is baffled. But as foolish as he is, he cannot see the cause of his bafflement. This cause is distinctly stated in Bhagavad Gita. Because one has not surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he must work under the control of material nature and its stringent laws. Daivahi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. The only means of becoming free from this entanglement is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. In the human form of life, the living entity must accept this instruction from the Supreme Person, Krishna. Sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam saranam vraja. Do not plan to achieve happiness and drive away distress. You will never be successful. Simply surrender unto me. End of quote. Unfortunately, however, the living entity does not accept the Supreme Lord's clearly stated instructions from Bhagavad Gita. And thus, he becomes a perpetual captive of the laws of material nature. Jagnartha karmano nyatra lokayam karmabandhana. If one does not act for the satisfaction of Krishna, who is known as Vishnu or Yajna, he must be entangled in the reactions of fruitive activities. These reactions are called papa and punya, sinful and pious. By pious activities, one is elevated to the higher planetary systems, and by impious activities, one is degraded to lower species of life, in which he is punished by the laws of nature. In the lower species of life, there is an evolutionary process, and when the term of the living entity's imprisonment or punishment in the lower species is finished, he is again offered a human form and given a chance to decide for himself which way he should plan. If he again misses the opportunity, he is again put into the cycle of birth and death, going sometimes higher and sometimes lower, turning on the samsara chakra, the wheel of material existence. As the wheel sometimes goes up and sometimes comes down, the stringent laws of material nature make the living entity in material existence sometimes happy and sometimes distressed. How he suffers in the cycle of happiness and distress is described in the next verse. Om Ajnana Chmirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Umanitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevata Paritana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Siva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. With a purport like that, it's very difficult to make any comments. Prabhupada describes very thoroughly the condition of the living entities in the material world. And the material energy is so powerful that the living entity has no conception of what's actually going on. It's described prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasa hankaravi mudhatma kartahamiti manyate. It's described that the bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by material nature. So this is the condition of conditioned souls who want to enjoy separately from the Supreme Lord, as Prabhupada says here, that this is the biggest problem, that we refuse to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharmam prityaja mamikam saranam braja. This is the real essence of our problem, of our difficulty, that we don't want to surrender to Krishna. We simply want to be independent, and we want to enjoy as much as possible. And we make so many plans for that enjoyment, as Srila Prabhupada puts in his report. And these plans are being frustrated time after time after time, frustrated. But still, because the baffled living entity cannot understand anything. They cannot understand that all these plans, they're simply useless because they're simply in relationship to this material body, this temporary material situation. And we can see from this particular pastime, this best among the python, right? The python man? That's what this is, the python man? Yes. He's sitting in one place and all his necessities, his needs are being satisfied and he's hardly moving. And we see in the material world today, in present age, people are moving so fast, hither and thither, as Prabhupada says. I was reading one lecture and Prabhupada said that everyone is going by like whoosh, 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 just going so fast. And what is driving them? What is that driving force that's forcing the living entities to work so hard for this sense gratification. Prabhupada says it's kamam hrid rogam. So materialistic life means that one is afflicted. Yes, afflicted by a formidable foe. And that formidable foe is lust. This is the real driving force for all of us. We're all overcome by these lusty desires for enjoyment. And if we have the material body, this is the telltale. This body, it's full of lust. It simply wants to enjoy. And Krishna states that in the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Raja Guna Samod, Mahasano, Mahapatma, Vidhi Inam Iha Vairinam. That this formidable foe, it's lust. And it's this lust, when it comes in contact with this material mode of passion, this is what happens. It's transformed into wrath. And it's the all-devouring, sinful enemy of the living entity. This is our real enemy. Sometimes we see someone, we think, this is my enemy. No, our real enemy, the real powerful enemy, the formidable foe, is our lust. And this is what we actually have to battle. So we see here in the Python Man, he doesn't seem like he had too much of a problem with this lusty desire. He could stay in one place and be satisfied. It appears that he wasn't very bewildered by this lust or the material energy. Whereas we see ourselves in modern society, we're running and rushing. You go to the interstate early in the morning. Where are people driving so fast to go? To where? What are they doing? Sometimes we should ask that question to ourselves. Where is everybody going all the time? And they're going to work. And what is that driving force? What is that motivation? That motivation is this passion, this desire for enjoyment. And by this passion, they're forced to execute because it's under the stringent laws of material nature. They think that they're doing this, but they're forced to act because they're overcome by these desires. And it's bewildering. If you tell the person, don't do this, they'll say, well, how can I live? How can I take care of my family? How can I possibly get the things that I want? They're so baffled and bewildered by this lust, they cannot see anything else. It's only by the association of a pure devotee. And we see that this cobra-like person, well, not cobra, what? Python, sorry, not a cobra. I'll bite you. But a python. Cobra will bite you and kill you. He's understanding that all these things will be taken care of. It was just like McGrory the hunter. McGrory the hunter, he had a profession. And his profession was half killing animals. And he would watch them die slowly, bleed to death. And he thought that that was normal. He was taught like that by his father. So he allowed it. Just, well, why not? What's the problem? I can't. Otherwise, how will I live? I can't maintain. I have a family. I have children. I can't maintain them unless I do this. Unless I half kill them like this. And then I sell their hide and I get my money and I live. We have something to eat. And until he met met Narada Muni, only by the association of a pure devotee was he able to wake up and see the light. And that is what's being exemplified here, that Python Man was like the light. That we don't really have to work like an ass simply for sense gratification, simply just to go out and get some money and think that we have to support our family in such a way. This is the illusion, the driving force of this material world. And everybody is engrossed in it tremendously that they cannot see how they can live. Just like a young man or young woman comes to Krishna consciousness and we say, come on, surrender to Krishna. Oh, no. You know, I got to do a few things. I got to see what's what the Rocky Mountains are about. I've read about the Rocky Mountains. I want to see the Rocky Mountains. Or maybe, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about this and that. I said, oh, no, I got to do that. He said, no, no, you don't need that. No. You don't understand. I have this burning desire but we said, no, we understand. They said, oh, no, you don't understand. But how do we understand? We understand because of Srila Prabhupada. That's how we understand, not that it's by some speculation. We understand it because it's coming from the pure devotee, from the parampara. This is how we understand it. It's like when somebody, you're speaking to someone, they say, well, I'd like to go see that. You kind of think in the back of your mind, well, that doesn't sound too bad. I always wanted to know what Italy looks like anyway. I wouldn't mind going to Venice and checking it out. Not a bad idea. So in the back of our minds, we're also thinking, some degree, well, it's not a bad idea. But how do we know that it's not? It's by the association and the instruction of the pure devotee of the Lord. And by that instruction, if we follow that instruction and stay with that instruction, then we can actually become successful in our pursuit. And only then. So everyone wants some kind of happiness or liberation. But liberation actually means freedom from lusty desires. Because it is only due to such desires that we are forced to accept, you know, this repeated birth and death. It's by that. That's the reason why we have, that's what we're fearing. As devotees, we're fearing, oh my God, am I going to be able to think of Krishna at the time of death? We're afraid. We're kind of freaking out about that a little bit. We want to make sure that what we're doing here, we're not going to have to come back to this material world. But it's by this lusty desires. So as long as one's lusty desires are unfulfilled, we have these desires in the heart. And as long as they're not fulfilled, one has to take birth after birth to actually fulfill them. They have to be fulfilled. You can't leave this world with these desires in your heart. Because if you do, you have to come back and fulfill them. That's the law of nature. So we have to rid ourselves of these material desires. Therefore, one performs various kinds of activities and receives various types of bodies and acts in certain ways. So the only remedy is to take the devotional service. There's no other remedy but this. If we take the devotional service to the Krishna consciousness process, only then can we be freed from material desires. Rupa Goswami has said, anyabhilasita sunyam. Anyabhilasita means it means desires. Anyabhilasita, desires. We have so many material desires. And sunyam means free from. So we have to become free from these desires in order to become satisfied and happy and avoid this repetition of birth, death, and old age and disease and become immortal. Everyone is wanting to become immortal. We want to live forever. But you cannot live that kind of life in this material body. This body is going to die. There's no doubt about it. 100%. It has to dwindle and die. And it will die. It's only a matter of time. So why waste our time trying to satisfy these insatiable senses? They're our worst enemy. We cater to them so much. When the tongue starts wanting something, we cater to it. We'll do so many things. Sometimes everybody, all of us, has experienced a sweet attack. I have to have something sweet. And we'll go to some unbelievable measure to get some sweet. We may even steal it. We may steal a piece of cake. And we'll think, it's cool. I mean, you know, it's just trying, it's Visharam. And we'll go to the extent of stealing to get that sweet tooth satisfied. Or cheat. We may even cheat. It costs $2.50. So here, I only got a buck. That's all I got is a buck. Can I get it? So I'm just trying to say that these senses, we cater to them to the point where we'll do things that are not proper. But in the end, what happens? You eat that piece of cake or you eat this pisadam or whatever, and then your stomach hurts and you can't sleep the rest of the night. You suffer. And this is these are your senses. What kind of friend are they to you? They're no friend to you. They simply drive you crazy. And they make you do the most hellish things. And we still cater day after day. Oh, I'm not going to do that again. But then a week later, there's a feast for someone. Okay. And we'll do it again. We'll do it over again and over and over and over. We'll cater to them constantly. This is what the Bhagavatam is trying to tell us. Over and over and over again. This is what the Python Man is trying to tell us. So, Prabhupada has told us that the only way to quiet these senses, because they're loud and clear. Is there anyone that has not heard their senses? I mean, aren't they clear? Isn't it as clear as day what you want when your senses start yelling at you? There's no bewilderment there. I want something. There's no, you know, and we're trained that if you want something, go get it. You want it? Get it. Doesn't matter, just get it. And after you get it, then worry about it. But make sure you get it. It's like a young man who wants a woman. He's going to get her. Or vice versa. I'm going to get him. You have no idea what the result could be. You just like the package. So I'm going to get him. Or I'm going to get her. Then after you get it, you go, oh my God, what happened? I never realized this was what it was going to be. If I would have only known, if I would have only listened. But we can't, because we're impelled by the material modes of nature. Prakriti kriyamana nigunai karmi sarvashaha. We're impelled, we're forced by the modes of nature. But how do we get out of that cycle? This is what the Bhagavatam is about. And the Bhagavatam says, tapo divyam putraka. It says, by divine austerity, not false, not mayavadi, neti. Because we're persons, we're personalities. It's artificial to try to renounce no. And then no, you know how no comes, that when it actually comes, you just devour it. This is our no. It's artificial. It's not real. So only by tapo divyam, by this divine austerity, can we control the senses, quiet the senses down. Only by that activity, nothing else. And being in a material body, being pushed by the senses, according to Vedic literature, we're in a disease condition. This is a disease condition we're in, according to the Shastra. We may not think we're diseased. You may love everything about yourself. That's fine. But that's a disease condition. And just like if you're in a disease condition, you go to a doctor, a physician, they'll give you a prescription. And that prescription could be diet. It could be this, that. You know, if you're in stress, you know, if you're stressed out, okay, here, sit down. Don't get involved in this. Don't do that. So there's a lot of do's and do nots. That's what disease means. When you're diseased, you have to follow do and do not. You have to if you want to get rid of the disease. So we have this material body. And what is the prescription? It's tapo divyam. That's the prescription to get out of this diseased body. To perform tapasya. And what is that tapasya? That tapasya is described to us by the Shastra and by the Guru. This is tapasya. You voluntarily surrender to the Shastra, to Scripture, to the Guru and the instruction. This is what real tapasya is. Not speculation or mental concoction. It's what the Shastra says, what the Guru says. That's how you get out of this diseased condition of life, the bodily platform of life. This is how you get out. You don't get out any other way. There's no other way to get out. You may think there is, albeit it. You know, even as you get older, you think you're going to beat it. you don't believe you're going to get old. And then you look in the mirror one day and go, oh, my God, what happened? I can't believe it. The material energy is so powerful that we're just withering away, but you can't believe it. You can talk to a 29, 30-year-old man or lady, you're going to get old, and they go, I'm going to beat it. You know, I'm going to get the cosmetics. I'm going to put plenty. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to juice. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to use a wrinkle-free cream. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to beat it. I'll be the only one person that's going to beat it. And this is the illusion. It's ongoing. The illusion is going and going and going. So, tapasya, it's necessary. Animals can't understand the word can't. Like, for instance, you tell a lion or a tiger, don't eat meat. What does that mean? That's like stupid. An animal can't understand, but a human can. Human life is meant for that. We say to a human, a real human, don't eat meat. They can stop. You're not eating meat. All of you are here in this temple room. I hope everybody's not eating meat. I was just checking. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But, you know, you're in a human form of life. Don't eat meat. You can do it. You can actually do it. Don't take drugs. You can do it. Human life means you can be trained. A human can be trained. This is what human life is meant for. It's meant to take training, to take instruction from the Shastra and from Guru. That is tapasya. We follow that instruction. And from that, we actually can understand what to do. And from this instruction, then we can understand Sura Sattva, pure goodness. And from this pure state, then we can understand Krishna. We can understand what God is, not all this other stuff. You cannot understand God by some material speculation. You have to become Sura Sattva. We have to be on the transcendental plane. You only get on the transcendental plane by Tapo Divyam. No other way. You can't finesse your way into this. You know, you're not going to be slick. You know, you're really slick, Mr. Slick, all the time. You're not going to Mr. Slick through the material energy, the three modes of material nature. It has to be genuine, sincere, tapo divyam, tapasya. That's what you're going to get on the Sura Sattva platform. And if you don't do that, you can't get there. That means that you cannot understand Krishna. You can't understand who Krishna is. Because you'll be again engrossed in material activity. And the minute that we come in this material desire platform, then we lose all the auspiciousness of spiritual life. We lose it. It disappears. And we mix it up. We think we're really Krishna conscious, but we don't want to do the Tapo Divyam. You know, it's Jamastami. Oh, I'm not going to fast today. Oh, Krishna will understand. You know, I got to have my grains. You know, I got to have this, I got to have that. This is not Tapo Divyam. You cannot understand Krishna's birthday then. Very simple. We don't understand Krishna's birthday. Otherwise, why are we doing it? You're doing it voluntarily. Tapasya. You're inflicting upon yourself some pain for divine consciousness. And when you do that, then you understand, wow, this is Krishna's birthday. Let me do everything to please him, satisfy him, give him pleasure. It's not always about me. It's about Krishna. It's about devotees. Let me perform this divine austerity so that I can make spiritual advancement, so I can become purified, so I can understand what Krishna is and who Krishna is. Otherwise, how will we understand? You can run around all over the world. You can run and do whatever you want. But it doesn't mean that you're going to understand Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stated, that we need, we want something. We're not natty. We're personal. This is who we are. We're personal. We want stuff. Each and every one of us in this room, we want things. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Nadanam Nadanam Nasundarim Kavitam Bhag Jagadisha Kamaye. Help me here. Mama Jamanish Jamanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktiara Haikritik Tvayi. He said that, you know, I don't want any number of wealth. You know, I don't want followers. I don't want a beautiful wife. For these are all like, they're materialistic desires. But he says that no matter what happens to me, birth after birth, I can be so many different entities. But one thing is what I want. In any circumstance, don't ever take me away from your transcendental devotional service. This is what Lord Chaitanya, this is what we have. This is our possession. Our possession is transcendental loving service to Krishna. And it's unlimited. What more could you want? You take a look in your daily life. Look at all the things we get to do. You live in a rich man's house. All your necessities are met. If you live in somebody's house up in Beverly Hills, in some $5 million mansion, and you're a servant, don't you reap the benefits of that? You probably can even drive his brand new Mercedes or whatever, or Jaguar. You can do all that. You have so many things. Krishna is God. He's the Supreme Lord. He can supply us anything. But we have to want it. This is the key. We have to want it. If we don't want it, then we're not going to get it. And this is our possession. Our possession is devotional service. So we should really protect our service. We should fight for it. You should fight for your service in Krishna consciousness. If the president comes and says, don't do this. No. I'm not going to give up washing the pots. This is my service. Don't take it away from me. Instead of saying, oh yeah, go ahead, take it. I don't know. Take it away. I don't care. I got things to do anyway. I got to take a walk every day. Or whatever. I got things to do. I can fill up my time. Don't worry, Prabhuji. Thank you. And fill up my day very good. And we're giving our possession away. The only thing we really have is our devotional service. That's what we have. That's what we are. That's who you are. That service. So, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, he was also praying that way. He said, if you have to give me some benediction, when he was praying to his father, if you have to give me some benediction, I pray within the core of my heart that you may take away all my material desires. This was Prahlad Maharaj. This is how he taught us how to pray. Take away all the material desires I have in my heart. That's what I want. That's the benediction that I want. And of course, that's very elevated. That's difficult for us. There's no doubt. But by performing Tapo Divyam, we can come to that Sudha-Sattva platform. We can give up all these material desires in the heart. And we can rid ourselves of them. And we can become happy. That's the way we'll become happy. Otherwise, it's impossible. There's no possibility. Prabhupada puts in a purport. It's useless endeavor. We have to believe the instruction of the Guru. Believe Srila Prabhupada with your heart and your might and with your soul. Believe in him, in his words, his instruction. That is called tapasya. Let us not speculate. Let's believe what he says here, that it takes this activity in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. Surrender to it. This is where our problem is, as Prabhupada puts in his purport. This is the conditioned soul's problem. We don't want to surrender. Okay. I'm sorry I kept you from prasad. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Haribo. Yeah.